Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. So the people stood looking on, and they said, "He saved others, let him save himself." The soldiers mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." An inscription was also written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, and it said, "This is the king of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, railed against him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." See, everybody, I mean, the soldiers, the rulers, people, even the criminals were going, "Man, if you're who you say you are, do something." And you know, Jesus could have. He could have called legions of angels to come. He could have dealt with that. But you see, it wasn't nails that kept him on a tree. It was, that's not what kept him there. What kept him there was his love for you and me. Because he said, "My life, it's my life, and I have the power to take it up. I got the power to lay it down." He was not crucified. He gave himself for you. It was through a crucifixion that his blood was shed, but his life was given for you. For all you do, this blood's for you. It's true right there. The soldiers mocked him. Everybody mocked him. The inscription said, "This is the king of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who was hanged there blasphemed him, railed against him. "If you're the Christ, do something." Others rebuked him. Oh, but the other one, there's the other one. There's two. One railed against him. The other said, he rebuked him and said, "Hey, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation?" Interesting. He said, "Do you not even fear God?" Somewhere in this process, they might have been in the same cell. They were dragged around together. But somewhere, this guy had a different revelation of who this guy was. This guy was looking and observing the whole thing, and he literally said, "I mean, don't you fear God? Don't you fear God? This guy is God, and he's under the same condemnation of us. Don't you fear God?" But the others answered, he rebuked them with the same thing. He said, "And indeed, we justly have received our due reward in deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord," that's a good thing, isn't it? He said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What an amazing declaration of faith. I mean, he's there hanging on a cross, crucified with Jesus. And what an amazing statement of faith when he's looking at a guy who is so brutally beaten and scarred that he's not even recognizable. And he's saying, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." How many think that's a pretty incredible statement of faith? I mean, you're looking at this lump of flesh beside you, obviously dying, his life being poured out, and you're saying, "You yet have a kingdom, and you're going to come into it, even though it looks a bit messy right now, you're going to come into a kingdom, and you know what, when you get there, remember me." Sorry for shouting, I just got carried away. Pretty amazing stuff. He said, "Remember me when you come." And he said, "Assuredly, I say to you," this is beautiful. This had to be amazing for this guy. He said, "Assuredly, I'm telling you of absolute truth, I say to you today." Isn't that a good word? Today. Today. I mean, you see what our day looks like right now? It may look messy right now, but I'm telling you today, very, very soon, not tomorrow, not next week, not sometime. But he says to the guy, "Today, this day, you're going to be with me in paradise. This isn't the end. This isn't the end of the story. What you see now in that crazy declaration of faith you just made about the kingdom, you are going to be with me today in paradise." Man, I just think this is awesome, awesome stuff. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. So really fast, are you ready? We're going to go through these three crosses really quick. 2,000 years ago, we think of the one cross, but there were three, and there wasn't just one crucified. There were three, and I want to look at the first one, the cross of redemption. Are you ready? Here it is. It's coming up on the screen right now. There it is, the cross of redemption. It says, "This man has done nothing wrong." See, Jesus did absolutely nothing wrong. It says the wages of sin is death. Jesus, there was nothing in him. Jesus literally could have lived forever. There was nothing wrong in him. There was no sin, nothing. Oh, actually, you ushers, don't worry about the offering. I decided not to take up an offering. So, sorry about that. But if you want to give, we'll put a bucket out at the back. And it was going to be a $1,500 plate breakfast, but we decided against it suddenly. So, but if you want to donate or offset the cost, you can. Look at this. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he who had no sin was made sin for us. He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus had no sin. No sin. There was no reason for him to die. The blood that was in him was the blood of God. It was the pure and precious blood of God. And the blood that flowed out of him flowed over top of that body that received every penalty of sin. And that blood redeemed that body. It redeemed all of sin. It paid the penalty for sin. There was a cross of redemption. And because of what Jesus did this day, we celebrated this day 2,000 years ago. Because of that, you can declare, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you want me to simplify it, I'll simplify it for you. Ready? You can say, I am perfect. I am. And I know, I tell you, you are perfect. You might say, yeah, you know, you don't live my head, I tell you. No, I don't. Glad I don't. But you are perfect. I am perfect. I am absolutely perfect because I believe what Jesus did for me not only declares me perfect, but it makes me perfect. It makes me the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Woohoo! Wow, settle down. I know it's really good news. Next one, there's another cross, and it was the cross of rebellion. Now, even though this is good news, even though the historical Jesus did this, and even though it's celebrated all over the world, there's all kinds of people who do not believe. And in fact, not only don't believe, but don't care. I was watching on the news this week, and in one of our, it wasn't one of ours, but it was down in Texas, they had a university where they went into the class, and he said, take out a blank sheet of paper, and he said, write Jesus in big letters on the blank sheet of paper, throw it on the ground, and now everybody stand up and stomp on the name of Jesus. There was only one student in a class of several hundred that refused to do it. When he took it and he asked to do that, he put it back on the desk, and he says, I refuse to stamp on the precious name of Jesus. You know, more and more today, people rail against that, and they rail against the name of Jesus. They think you Christian folk are just crazy folk. But you know, and there's lots who rail against, and even then, right there, dying beside Jesus, there was one who railed. The word rail means to blaspheme, to defame. But there are people who are too proud to say, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. I don't need an accountant, although some days, well, I don't need a mechanic. I got one across the road. But you know what? If you don't deal with sin, you're going to go to a lost eternity. And if you don't deal with that brokenness in your life, you'll go to a lost eternity. But you know, God's plan is that he covered sin. All you have to do is believe in Jesus. But even with that, I think it's the simplicity of it that's offensive to people. But that kid is too easy. How can I be righteous just by believing in that man? Well, we're going to celebrate on Easter that man didn't just die for you. He's risen and he's alive for you. And that man is seated on the throne and he is there as the first fruits of many brethren. And you are going to be made alive because you believe in him. You know, so there is that rebellion, though. People are just, no way, I'm not going to accept that. They're too proud to say, I need a Savior. I'm not too proud to say that. I can say it gladly because I know. I've lived a bit of life and it's not been pretty. But some people think that, well, I'm pretty good. I'm going to go it on my own. Well, good luck. That's basically what you say to an atheist on Easter. Instead of happy Easter, you say, well, good luck. You're going it on your own. Sorry, my wife's smiling at me. That usually means smile a little more and relax. Ted Turner, he's one of my favorite characters. Ted Turner, he's head of Turner Broadcasting, TBN, TBS, TNT, CNN, all that. He blasted the Christian faith. Here's what he said at a national press club. He said, remember, heaven is going to be perfect, and I don't really want to be there. Those of us that go to hell, which will be most of us in this room, most journalists are certainly going there. But, it says laughter. So I just. But when we get there, we'll have a chance to make things better because hell's supposed to be a mess and heaven is perfect. Who wants to go to a place that's perfect? It's boring, 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 and everybody went, ha, ha, ha. He also said this. He said, Christianity is a religion for losers. I don't want anybody dying for me. I've had a few drinks and a few girlfriends, and if that's going to put me in hell, then so be it. In Jesus' name, I pray for Ted I pray you just break off that pride and, Father, be gracious to him. Plead the blood of Jesus over every offensive thing in his life. And I ask you to visit him powerfully and bring him into your kingdom and turn all those broadcasting networks into Christian channels in Jesus' name. Amen. That was some powerful stuff right there. Amen. Love those that persecute you. Christian channels, good Christian channels, you know, with like nonstop Duck Dynasty. Woo! All right. Going to go on to the next one. You ready? Here's the next one. It's the cross of repentance. The cross of repentance. The cross of repentance. It says, how blessed are we? He said, Lord Jesus, remember me. Jesus, you are the Lord. Remember me. And I think that's incredible. When you think of the situation he was in, think about it for a second. Just think about it. This guy is a criminal. He's being accused of things, and they've sentenced him to death. He's hanging there dying on a tree. How many think that's probably not a good day? How many think he's probably having a pretty bad experience? How many think these circumstances are pretty grave? How many think that that guy's having a worse day than you've ever had? Like, that's it. I mean, how many have been there? If you're not there yet, then you're in a good place. But listen, he was there. He was in the worst experience he could possibly be in. But even when it's ugly, even when it's messy, even when it looks like it's going to be too hard, it's too late, oh no, even then, you know what? There's still God, and he's able to do something, because the whole point is that when Jesus is in the middle, anything is possible. When Jesus is in the middle, no matter how dark, how ugly, how messy, you are set up for the most incredible breakthrough of your life. Say in the middle. Say in the middle. Say in the middle. Say in the middle. There you go. He's in the middle. It's never too hard, never too difficult when Jesus is in the middle. Let me give you a little quick process of what the middle is. You ready? Here it is. Here's the middle process. Number one, if you're in the middle, and if you're in a situation like that guy was, and something needs to happen, and you need Jesus to be in the middle because this situation is really, really ugly, let me tell you, if you're in a situation and you need Jesus in the middle, here's how you get Jesus in the middle. You ready? Number one, shut up. Stop talking. I mean, stop spinning your wheels. Stop getting freaked out. Still yourself. Pay attention. Look around. Look. You know what? You know what it says in the Word? It says that I will never, ever leave you or forsake you. You know, he is there. And no matter what the situation looks like, Jesus is in the middle. Stop glorifying the circumstances. Stop making a mountain out of a molehill. Because if Jesus is there in the presence of the Lord, it says mountains melt like wax. So it's time to see Jesus in the middle. So number one is, I'm trying to be polite. You ready? Shut up. Stop it. Don't do that. I know mommy tells you not to say that. I know. I get in trouble when I say that. Mommy says it's rude to say that, but pastor did it. So all you kids, don't go home and do that. This is just for preaching. So if your mother says don't say that, say, well, I'm not just talking, I'm preaching. All right. So no, don't do that either. All right. Number two, you need a revelation. Open your eyes. Open your eyes and see Jesus, because he is in the middle. Because if he's never going to leave you or forsake you, that means he is right there in the middle. Number three, you got to make a declaration just like this guy did. It is messy. It is ugly. But you are a king of glory. You're coming into your kingdom. You're going to reign over this whole mess. So you know what I'm going to say, even in the state I'm in? I'm going to say, Jesus is Lord. Why? Because Jesus is in the middle. You shout that out anytime. All right. Number four, supplication. Remember me. Jesus is Lord. You are Lord. And you are Lord is a wonderful thing. But I don't only just need you to be Lord. I need you to remember me right now. I don't just need to declare that you are Lord right now. I need you and your Lordship to make a difference in my life. So, Lord, right now in the middle of this, remember me. And the last one, here's the good one. You ready? Because when you do all of that and you know he's in the middle and you know he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and you know his kingdom is a powerful, everlasting kingdom, then you know that if you do this, you're going to have a manifestation of him in the middle. He's going to be with you. You're going to be with him, and you're going to experience an incredible breakthrough. How many think that was just, that's too easy? Are you kidding? This guy having the worst day of his life, worse than you ever imagined. Look at this lump of flesh. And he believed that this guy today was coming into a kingdom, and he got a ridiculous breakthrough. And you know what? If he did it for him, he'd do it for you. So come on, just say, turn to your neighbor and say, he's in the middle. Or turn to your other neighbor and say, he's in the middle. Now put on your preaching voice and turn to the people behind you and say, he's in the middle. All right, come on, got a couple more slides. You ready? Oh, that was a nice one. Got another one. Here they're coming. They're coming fast and furious now. Look at that. You see that? That was Moses. Moses was between a rock and a hard place. He had the Pharaoh coming behind him with a big army, and he had the Red Sea in front of him. But you know what Moses knew? Moses knew that even when you're between a rock and a hard place, that Jesus is in the middle. And he said, God, what do I do? And he said, pick up your rod and strike the water. Because when God is in the middle, even if you're between a rock and a hard place and the nastiest army ever coming down your back, you are set up for a breakthrough because Jesus is in. Now look at this. Look at this. That's David. You see David? You see there's an army on one side and there's an army on the other side. And between two armies, there's little David with a great big giant called Goliath. And little David went down there with a slingshot because David knew that when you're in the middle of two armies and you're facing a nasty beast, you can know that Jesus, God Almighty, is in the middle. And you can know that I am more than a conqueror right now. And he doesn't have a chance because I know that between these armies, God's in the middle. Settle down now. I'm glad I'm not the only one excited. Look at this now. There's Daniel in the lion's den. He gets tossed in there for his faith, and he's got these lions, roar, roar. And I mean, the king thought he's done. I mean, I gotta come back and find a little bloody corpse tomorrow. But sure enough, Daniel in the middle, he didn't fear because he knew that when you're in the middle of any situation, God is there. And when you look at him, you're always going to get a breakthrough because Jesus is in the... All right, those of you who don't get it can go home now. But the rest of you are just excited. You can say, here we go. Look at this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're getting tossed into a fiery furnace. I mean, this is some messy stuff, but they didn't care. They said, go ahead, do your best. Turn it up as high as you can. Even the guys who threw them in got killed because it was so hot. But they walked into the furnace, and they were not only not touched by the fire, it didn't even smell like they'd been in a fire because there's a fourth man in the fire because Jesus is always in the middle. Doesn't matter what situation you're in, he will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus is in the... Look at this. There's Peter. If it's you, Lord, I'll walk out on the waves. He begins to walk out on the waves, and he begins to sink and go glug, glug, glug. But you know what? When you're out on the water, even if you doubt, even if fear starts to creep in, when you're out in the water, you know that Jesus is there. And when he's in the middle, he's going to reach down. He's going to grab you. He's going to pick you up. It doesn't matter how ugly it looks if Jesus is in the middle. Look at this. There was a woman with an issue of blood. It's awesome. And the kids are all running around the house. Woo! Here's a woman with an issue of blood. The crowd is thick and heavy. She's pushing through the crowd. She crawls on her hands and legs. And she knows that I might have a sickness and an infirmity. But if I can reach Jesus, if I can touch Jesus, because he's in the middle, if I can touch him, I will be made whole. She found Jesus in the middle of her infirmity. Look at this. Zacchaeus, nobody liked him. I mean, people couldn't stand him. He's up a tree because he wants to see Jesus. Just a little man. He was short. He was short of seeing Jesus. He was short of redemption. But he climbed a tree, and you know what? Jesus found him up a tree. No matter if you feel like I'm up a tree without a hope, you can find Jesus in the middle. Look at this. Look at this guy. Look at that guy. That's blind Bartimaeus. He's blind. He throws away his beggar cloak. Jesus! I got Jesus in the middle. I don't need my beggar's cloak. I'm not begging anymore. I want to see. He touched his eyes. Bartimaeus found Jesus in the middle. I'll do it quiet for this conservative crowd. Look at this. Lazarus. I mean, it's deep. He's not 3 days dead. He's four. Not one, not two, not three, but 4 days dead. Surely he stinketh. But I tell you, even in the middle of this, even in the middle of a hopeless situation where the family says, don't move the rock, don't do that. Jesus says, move the stone. Lazarus, come forth. And if he didn't say Lazarus, if he just said come forth, he would have emptied the whole graveyard. Because I tell you, the word of Jesus is powerful. And when Jesus speaks a word in the middle of your situation, you are set up for a ridiculous breakthrough. All right, we're moving right along. You ready? Here we are. There's Paul and Silas. They're in the middle. They're wrapped in the jail cell. But in the midnight hour, they began to sing. They began to rock and roll. They began to shake those chains with glory. They started singing so loud and shaking those chains so much that God started tapping his foot going, I like that song. And the whole place shook. The whole thing, the rocks all rolled. And those guys were totally set free. And the whole place got saved because Jesus is in the middle. Look at this now. There they are. They're going to be shipwrecked. But you know what? Peter says, or Paul says, don't worry about it. He said, you know what? Jesus just showed up. Here I am in the middle of this nasty time. But Jesus came to me and he spoke to me. He says, the boat might be messed up, but nobody's going to get harmed. We're going to be fine because Jesus is in. Because Jesus is. I had a vision of this meeting and had people jumping up going, he's in the middle. How many people are leaping in the spirit right now? How many, it's not quite enough to touch your flesh yet. He's in the middle! Look at this, look at this. Look at this one right here, right here. I didn't know who that is. That's me a couple years ago. I still use it as my profile picture for ministry. When people say, who's coming to minister? I send them that. Then I show up and they go, where's your son? And you know what? I found him in the middle. I was thrown in jail one day. I came out that morning. And when I came out that morning, I was walking into a sunrise. Thought life was over. I got to my brother's house. Two big boys there. I thought, we're going to tangle. They're going to throw me around while you're wasting your life, making your mom sad. When I walked in that room, I thought, I'm going to have a fight. But you know, in the middle of an embrace of my two brothers, I walked into a room and instead of hitting me or yelling at me, they wept with me and they hugged me. In the middle of that embrace, I found Jesus. In the middle of that embrace, I literally know, and I'm confident of this, that I was totally delivered and set free with a love hug. And I was I couldn't fight it. I didn't know what to do. I would have rather been slapped in the face. But when they hugged me with tears in their eyes, I was totally delivered of alcoholism, of drug abuse, and totally set free with a hug. Because in the middle of a hug of love, I found Jesus in the middle, and he totally set me free. I can tell you so many places in my life where Jesus has been in the middle. He's been in the middle of a car wreck. He's been in the middle of so many situations, and he set me free. I got another one. Look at this one. She was at a crossroads. She was in an intersection. But she was in the middle. I tell you, I remember when Cheryl and I were in the middle. We were at a crossroads. Cheryl literally sat up in bed and she's yelling at me going, something's got to change. I tell you, I can't do this. I'm not working for nothing anymore. Something's got to shift. Something's got to shift in our finances. And so she came up with this crazy idea of sowing a whole month's wages, sowing it and saying, we're going to sow this and God's going to give us a breakthrough. And we were in the middle and God gave her a revelation that if it doesn't meet your need, it could be seed. So sow it and see what God can do. And we sowed a whole month's salary. And before the month was over, Cheryl, well, the ministry door opened up for her to be the director of the Crisis Pregnancy Center. And it was a total breakthrough, but we found Jesus in the middle. I got one more, just one more. This guy here, that guy there. That's our son, Dylan. But you know, Dylan, when he's a bit younger than that, we went to the doctor because he was having a problem with his leg, and we found out that he had hip herpes. I'd never even heard of that before, didn't know what it was. But I researched it, and they said it's like a non-traumatic injury that mostly little boys around 8 or so, give or take a few years, they get, and their hip literally starts to die. the blood flow ceases to their hip and that hip dies. They say you might have to be in traction. We may have to, when you're 18, replace your hip. It's a terrible thing, but you know, suddenly as it happened, it'll suddenly come back. But you know, that was the report of the doctor. But we went and got the report of the Lord. We went and got every scripture about bones, and we declared the word of God about bones over Dylan's life. And in the middle of a bad report, we got a good report from God, and we declared that good report. And then by the time a couple years had passed, we went back to get another checkup. How's his hip doing? The doctor said, well, it looks like things have been restored, but he'll probably never be able to do this. Oh, well, that's pretty good. But he'll probably never be able to do this. Oh, well, that's pretty good. But he may never be able to do this. Oh, well, actually, I think he's pretty. Do you know what? Even I hated that report. I hated what I heard. I hated that the devil was attacking my kid. But I'll tell you, in the middle, you will always find Jesus, and you'll always get a good report, and he will manifest in the middle. He's in the middle.